It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum number 89. I guess, again, as is probably going to be the case for the next few weeks, COVID-19 or coronavirus will continue to dominate. However, I don't want this podcast to be all about that. But we do, of course, have to look at it because so many of us are throughout the world are being impacted by this. Now, it's not all bad news. So, for example, abortions have been banned in some states. Transgender legislation has been removed or stopped, and so have such operations. Gambling shops have been closed, although online gambling here in Australia is hugely increased. There's cleaner air. In Australia, there are less people in ICU because of drunken parties and violence and car accidents. Bible sales are up. And in London, the amazing story, not just in London, but in three other cities in the United Kingdom, Glasgow, Manchester and Birmingham, new hospitals, NHS Nightingale with 4,000 beds has taken its first patients, which is really quite remarkable. However, we are in this process of shutdown, and I thought I would do something just a wee bit different this week and look at some maybe slightly different angles. And let's begin, first of all, with this clip from Lord of the Rings.
The women of this country learned long ago that those without swords can still die upon them. I fear neither death nor pain.
What do you fear, my lady?
A cage. To stay behind bars until youth and old age accept them. And all chance of valor has gone beyond recall or desire.
Shield Maiden of Rohan. I do not think that will be your fate.
Now, I think I could take a clip from Lord of the Rings every single day and still have plenty. I love this. Eowyn says, I fear neither death nor pain, if you didn't make that out. And Aragorn says, what do you fear, my lady? I fear a cage to stay behind bars until youth and old age accept them. And all chance of valor has gone beyond recall or desire. Aragorn, you are a daughter of kings, a shield maiden of Rohan. I do not think that will be your fate. Just brilliant, isn't it? It's just... And how I apply that in terms of myself and in terms of our own life is, you know, there's a sense in which I understand completely and I support fully this physical isolation, not social isolation. But the idea that governments could keep us locked down, not allowed out for anything other than the briefest of walks in some areas, that people would be confined to homes for our own good in a cage, that just does not appeal to me at all. And I love this fact. You are a daughter of kings and you are a daughter of the king. You are a son of the king. Now, that doesn't mean as Christians that we can be irresponsible. But it does mean we don't fear in the way that our governments are using fear, I think, to control. And that's where there is a particularly Christian perspective here. I think of John Lennox, who's just written a marvelous new book on God and the coronavirus. But I want you to listen to this first clip of a first minute or so of a program that he did for Unbelievable. It's a short program, not the usual 90 minutes, only about 30 minutes. It's well worth listening to. But just this first minute, it's a personal thing explaining how he is coping, which I think reflects many other people.
John, tell us a bit about what life in lockdown looks for you and Sally at the moment. How are you guys coping?
Well, we're coping very well. It's wonderful. We're very fortunate to have a garden, of course, that we can get out into. And we have very kind neighbours, so that we haven't actually had to venture out very much at all to do shopping and so on. it's a strange business, but we keep in touch with the family using video links and telephone and so on. So although we're isolated, we're not completely cut off from the world.
And you've been keeping yourself busy. I mean, you're busy.
See, he's recognizing that he's blessed. He's blessed in different ways. He's keeping busy. He has a house with a garden. Many people don't have that. He has kind neighbors who will do shopping for him. And I think above all, he has his Christian faith. And that makes a phenomenal difference. Okay, let's talk about clapping. Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was in the United Kingdom a clap for the NHS. People were to stand outside their houses or lean out their windows and clap or bang pots and pans. And I think it was wonderful in lots of ways. I do. I think it was relatively spontaneous. But then we decided, oh, we have to do this again, because apparently this is now how we, this is the equivalent, I think, of saying prayers for you. And of course, woe betide anyone who dares question it or doesn't do it. And I'm just a little bit skeptical about it. It's good to show appreciation, but I think appreciation in other ways, for me particularly, my own daughter is a coronavirus nurse, and I'm sorry, but the level of protection that she gets is absolutely appalling. So if we care for our nurses, and let's provide proper equipment for them. Sorry, that's just a wee rant about that. But then the clapping easily lends itself to hypocrisy. Now, listen to this clip of a woman for whom I do have a degree of sympathy. Catherine Calderwood, who was Scotland's chief medical officer, and note the term was. I'll explain why. It's past tense in a moment. But just listen to this short clip.
Thank you to all our NHS and caring staff for what you're doing for Scotland. Cut.
Okay, we're going to play it again, because if you listen carefully, she's standing there and she's clapping the NHS and thanking people for the NHS. And then she says, cut at the end. In other words, it's a media clip. It's a show.
Cut.
Well, here's the problem and the reason that Catherine Calderwood is no longer the chief medical officer. Because she's the government spokesperson, and what she did on behalf of the Scottish government was tell people to stay at home, was point out that it was illegal and wrong for them to go to a holiday home. But she went twice, not once, but twice, to our holiday home in Fife. Now, personally, I think the rule is ridiculous. But the rule is there, and she's responsible for promoting it and the government enforcing it. So she had to go, because if you give the impression that it's one rule for the rich, which in reality it is, and another for the poor, then, which also in reality it is, then you're going to have real difficulty holding this down. And we've been saying this for some time, that you can have a strict lockdown for a couple of weeks, but having it for a couple of months, I doubt that that's going to be possible in liberal societies. And then there's this other aspect of clapping for Boris.
Come on, Boris Johnson, you get better. Come on, you get out your doors, come on, let's clap for Boris Johnson.
We're clapping for Boris. Get well soon, but also for everybody who's in hospital, and saying thank you to all those people who are caring for him so well. Get well soon. Thank you.
I don't know. I really do feel for Boris Johnson, and we do pray for him, and it's some of the stuff that's said by people who are crass and crude and foolish, including, sadly, some people I know. We don't wish the death of anybody, but he is the Prime Minister of the country in particular, and you cannot but feel a certain degree of empathy and sorrow for him. And it is hugely significant. It really does ram home the seriousness of this, that the de facto leader of the country, well, the Queen is the other one. The Queen is remarkable. Her speech said not a great deal, but what it did say was fine and was good. I'm just sorry that her scriptwriters left out her Christian faith. I'm sure she didn't, but I'm sure her scriptwriters did. But again, I guess let's come back to Boris. We clap Boris. Sorry, what good does that do? You're better off praying for him.
Get better soon, Boris.
Get well soon, Boris.
Come on, mate. Leave this country the way you're doing.
Let's move on to talk about the European Union. Now, this has not handled this whole crisis well. You have to feel for the Italians, who to some extent were left on their own, although I've been particularly encouraged to see how latterly the Germans have stepped in to help. The Spanish as well. It's funny how the EU nations are all closing their borders. The Danes, it's interesting with the Danes that they've succeeded far too well in the lockdown and they're having to open up a bit because they don't believe there will be a vaccine and they want a bit more herd immunity. But I guess the big story out of the EU at the moment, apart from just the horrendous casualty list, is that the EU's top scientist, Professor Mauro Ferrari, has resigned after failing to persuade Brussels to set up a large-scale scientific program to fight COVID-19. And he's just said how disappointed he is in the EU, that he used to believe in it and no longer does. As incidentally, Yanos Varoufakis, who I've mentioned before, the former Greek finance minister, who's a very strong pro-EU advocate and now says no, Britain was right to get out. Ironically, of course, on the other hand, you get plenty of people in the UK tweeting away like mad, this shows that we need to be in the EU. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure being in or out of the EU really makes that much difference to the virus. But there's another political aspect, and that is the whole area of the World Health Organization. Now, apart from their attitude to China, in which they seem to believe Chinese propaganda, or to some extent even seem to be controlled by Chinese money, and there is another disturbing aspect. Listen to Mike Ryan, the executive director of the WHO.
In most parts of the world, due to lockdown, most of the transmission that's actually happening in many countries now is happening in the household, at family level. In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
Now, do you find that chilling? Because I do. He's suggesting that children, parents, grandparents can be removed from families in a safe and dignified manner. No. No. That's a step too far. It's very authoritarian, and speaking of which, let's go to China again and go to the Chinese churches, where authorities in China are maintaining their crackdown on churches online. And we've some information from, I'm not going to mention who they are, but some information from unofficial house churches in different provinces who have been told that their online gatherings have been blocked as well. Yeah. China is not going to let up, or the Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese government, is not going to let up on its persecution of the Christian church. All right, let's change subject for a moment, and a tale that would be probably the number one item throughout the world if it were not for the coronavirus, and that is the acquittal of Cardinal Pell. Now, Cardinal Pell is the most senior Catholic official to be charged and found guilty with child abuse. And this week, by a unanimous decision of 7-0, the Australian Supreme Court ruled that he should be set free. Some people are making a great thing about the fact that he's not declared innocent, but in actual fact, you are declared innocent if you're found not guilty. And here it's by reason of virtual doubt. Okay, what can we say about this? For some, this is part of the culture wars, hence the Catholic cathedral was vandalized immediately afterwards. Hence, the Premier of Victoria just announced that he believed the victims, accepted the verdict, but believed the victims. Well, even using the word victims. But you've got other people who are rejoicing that the cardinal is set free and exonerates this man who was completely innocent and was being persecuted. I'm torn on this one in lots of different ways. Firstly, the extent of child sexual abuse within the Catholic Church and whether Cardinal Pell helped cover that up is a big issue, is not something that can be lightly brushed aside in Australia. But secondly, the injustice of the trial as well cannot be brushed aside. To me, there are no winners in this. There are only losers. And I do think both the perpetrators of sexual abuse, victims of sexual abuse, and those who are unjustly accused of sexual abuse as well. It's just a horrible, horrible situation. Okay, I want to change to some good news. Let's come back. This is a story to do with the coronavirus. How is this good news? Well, I picked up this story from Dundee, this woman who was 99 years old, I think 98 years old. And I noticed she was from Perthshire. And then I saw the name, Daphne Shah. And I know Daphne. I've spoken to her many times. I visited her home.
Did you enjoy your stay in hospital after what they've done for you?
Yes.
They're nice people.
Very nice. I didn't want to leave.
She's Christian Brethren. From India, Brethren in Africa, in Kenya, I believe, and worshipped at Hillbank Evangelical in Dundee. When she left in an ambulance, aged 98, with coronavirus, her son, Wes, thought he would never see her again. But I love what the newspaper says, but the expertise of NHS staff in Dundee, and this is in Ward 11, a ward I know far too well, or like a second home to me, and so I agree about the expertise of the staff. The expertise of the staff in Dundee, coupled with Daphne's positive outlook, strong Christian faith and fighting spirit, help her beat the disease and get home 5 days later. I think that's a lovely story. In fact, it involves someone I know as well. All right, for some of you, this won't be good news. We'll change the subject again. And Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan has a new song. It's about the assassination of JFK. This is just a little bit of it.
They killed him once and they killed him twice. Killed him like a human sacrifice. The day that they killed him, someone said to me, son, the age of the Antichrist has just only begun. Air Force One coming in through the gate. Johnson sworn in at 2:38. Let me know when you decide to throw in the towel. It is what it is, and it's murder most foul.
Can't play it all because it lasts 16 minutes, but typical Bob Dylan narrative song. I love it. Brilliant. And then let's just come back to the coronavirus for a couple of items before we finish. Holy Smoke is a podcast from The Spectator, which has just had its 10,000th edition, which makes it by far the longest serving printed magazine in the world. Fascinating podcast they have called Holy Smoke, looking at religion. And here, Harry Mount, editor of The Oldie, I believe, is moaning or complaining about churches being closed. And here he means big church buildings. And there's an argument being made here, which I find fascinating, that yes, closed services, but why are we closing the buildings? Because they're big empty buildings that are used to social distancing. And people need somewhere to go, a space where they can sit and where they can contemplate.
Unlock the Churches read a headline last week in an online article in The Oldie, written by the magazine's editor, Harry Mount. He wrote, "At a time of national crisis, if only there were some big empty buildings where people could go and reflect in an atmosphere of beauty and calm. If only they were so big that you would automatically practice social distancing because there are so many chairs and so few people. Oh, hang on! Like magic, these buildings do exist in every village, town and city in the country. They're called churches. And yet both the Anglican and Catholic Church have, in their wisdom, closed them down. Of course, it's understandable that they stopped services.
Do you know what I think is going on here a little bit? I think the church authorities are desperately trying to show they care. And it's a little bit like the police and the politicians who sometimes try to outdo each other and to show how much they care and also to show how tough they are. And I just wish that people would make policy based on evidence, not on how things are perceived. I suspect some church authorities in all denominations are concerned about how it might look rather than the reality of it. Anyway, these are difficult times. But there's no need to panic, and that's why, as this little clip explains, myself and Steve McAlpine, my colleague in third place, have set up the panic room. It's been going rather well. We do it every weekday, and if you'd like to join us, feel free.
Hi everyone, welcome to the panic room. Now, the panic room is 10 minutes of pure panic every day from Steve McAlpine and David Robertson from third space. What are we going to do in those 10 minutes, Dave?
One thing we're going to do is not panic. We're not going to panic. You remember that? Yeah. Who was it? Private Jones. Private Jones.
Don't panic. Don't panic anybody. Don't panic, Mr. Manrin.
And then finally, we leave with a couple of bits of music. Bill Withers.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
He died aged 81. I love this song. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And I know that it's written about a romantic thing, but you know, in a world of darkness, I think that about Christ. There's no sunshine when Christ is not here.
I know, I'll leave the young thing alone, but ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
And then I also think of this. We used to take kids from the housing schemes in Dundee to what they called discovery camps, and we would sing different songs, often Christian songs, but one of their favourites was this one. Lean on me when you're not strong. And you know, I think of that in terms of this time of crisis, in terms of us leaning on one another and helping one another, but most of all I think of it in terms of us leaning on Christ. If you know Christ, lean on him. If you don't know him, you need to come to him. He says, come to me all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lean on him. God bless you. If you wish to help support Quantum, then go to the Podbean fundraiser. You've got any information, please do pass it on. Any comments, feel free to do that. Otherwise, we'll see you next week, and we pray that this crisis week for the US and the UK will be over soon. May the Lord have mercy.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I need